Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 660. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
E3 is dead. Long live Keeley. Oh,
yeah, I did forgot to write that. That happened this week.
I think because it's been dead for quite some time, we're just getting a death announcement this week, though.
It's like when they take the corpse into the ER and they try to revive it for like another 20 minutes, even though the guy's been dead for a while. Like that. It's exactly like that.
Except in this case, the corpse has been dead for like 4 years.
It's like there's flies everywhere, and you can barely tell it was a human being before, but they're in there with the, you know, the AED. They're trying.
Earl is here as well to discuss the obituary of E3, I guess. Half a decade in the making.
I'm taking this to the highest court. We're going to appeal this to the Supreme Court, and we're going to undercare E3 dead. You watch.
I mean, I guess somebody could revive it at some point. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. Like, I think that it started to lose relevance that, was it, there were 2 years where it moved from L.A. to, like, Santa Monica or something. And that just seemed to be where the big publishers were like, fuck off, we're going to do our own thing.
We're good. You're off the big stage. We can't even fit all the people we need in the audience now. Thanks.
Yeah. It's a shame. But I guess Jeff Keighley wins. He gets now Summer Game Fest, the never-ending fest of games.
I mean, really, it's the publishers reaching out to us themselves and Keighley pretending that he is...
That he's in charge.
Yes. It's
true. Well, I mean, and we've had this discussion several times. We've had this discussion around Summer Game Fest and E3. But part of what the big problem with Summer Game Fest being a replacement for E3, which it's not, is that it doesn't, who knows what next year offers, it doesn't have a physical component. For people at home, it doesn't make a difference. But I see a lot of people who meant the fact that you do lose out on one of the big North American networking opportunities for the gaming industry. Like, watching videos, I mean, again, for viewers at home, it's not going to be a big difference. But, like, yeah, right. You do, like, really, what E3 missed out on, or what Summer Game Fest missed out on that E3 did, is that you had a focus on video games for a week. The problem with the Summer Game Fest, as we joke, is that thing spread out. There's no real ending. There's a beginning. He has a kickoff show. But like the first one went for like 2 months. I think it goes from like most of June, sometimes goes into July. So it's like you don't really have to, like, okay, we're going to hyper concentrate on like this, like not even like 3 days. It was like, you know, some people started doing like the Thursday, Friday beforehand. But you hyper focused on like that 5 days or so where it's like everybody came to the dance, and now it's like, I'll do something. I think Sony did something in May this year. Nintendo did something in July or end of June. Microsoft did their thing. I mean, Rockstar just did their thing a week ago. So there's none of that, like, oh, we're going to have like 4 days where like Konami, Sega, Capcom, Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, come out and like show you the best of what they have to offer. It's going to be spread out, and I guess there's really no reason to invest in that anymore, because if you're a publisher, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why not have your own window? Why not have your own hype cycle?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it, like, the technology is so much better now. Like, they don't need this vehicle where they show this thing off to press who then distributes it to their customers, because they can reach out to us directly. And why put a middleman in there speaking for you when you can speak for yourself and say exactly what you want to have said?
Yes.
It's just hasn't kept up. Like, if there was a way of having an E3 that would allow that to happen, then I'm sure that it would live on in some form, but it's just doesn't work. It's just not necessary anymore.
And the other thing, and again, we talk about it, but not as much, is that publishers, developers aren't doing 3, 4, 5 games a year anymore. You're getting like one or two major titles. Like, does it make sense for like an Ubisoft to come there if it's going to be Assassin's Creed, Just Dance, and I don't even know what else they publish right now, and like the Prince of Persia game, where, like, before you would have had a year where it's like that, You would have had, you know, like the Avatar game. You would have had some stupid racing game they had. They did a racing. Whatever happened to that racing game? The like extreme sports game they did a few years ago.
Dead. Who knows?
I assume it's still alive, but like, yeah, I was just like, yeah, they did. They had like that sports game where like you were like this. You could do the squirrel suit or like the motorbike or the ATV. Riders Republic.
Oh yes. Yeah, that's bikes and snowboarding and skiing and wingsuiting. That's a thing.
And not being talked about.
It did okay when it came out. They're releasing some sort of new expansion for it soon. So I guess a few were still playing it. I'm not, but. What I played of it was really cool. So, but yeah, it's not in the general lexicon anymore. I believe Jeff has just joined us.
I am. I'm here, or I have.
Those are several different words, but
how do you feel about E3 dying, Jeff?
I miss it. And I mean, like, felt like it was coming for a while, but yeah, I don't know. I always enjoyed it. I always thought it was a fun time, and get that now, but it's like just not like this hyper concentrated into a couple days thing that I preferred.
Yeah, it was fun being able to be like that Monday before E3 really kicked off when all the big press conferences were like Microsoft, Sony, EA, Ubisoft. Like Square might have thrown one in there, Konami, and then E3 opened on Tuesday. Nintendo, like right before the doors opened, they had their press conference. That was fun.
Yeah, and I could imagine. Not sure how working it would be, like being a journalist that works there or whatever. But I could imagine myself, you know, liking it and. Things going away, but someone who just watches those press conferences, it's I still kind of miss it. So,
all right. Well, I completely forgot that E3 had died this week. So,
well, that also kind of tells you the impact of what E3 has become.
Yeah, yeah. Some other news I wrote down here though that. I did remember. A24 is making a Death Stranding movie, either with Kojima or, you know, I guess Kojima might be producing in some way. That's weird.
It's so weird. I mean, he's been trying to make a movie for a very long time, so let's be honest.
Just don't, I like that out of all the, and I guess like he doesn't have the, you know, the rights to Metal Gear or whatever, but. Death Stranding's a weird game to like make a two and a half hour movie out of. It's a cool universe, but there's not like the story is very weird. I don't know if it translates like a 50-hour game. I don't know if that translates to a two and a half hour cinematic experience. We'll see. Jeff, you ready for the Death Stranding movie?
Nope. I wasn't even ready for the game.
Did any of you guys play it?
Nope.
Jeff doesn't need a Postman simulator.
That is true.
And we already have the Postman, the movie. Is that they're making a movie out of? Is Death Stranding?
Yeah.
Why?
That's the one. Good question. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Like you would, other than Kojima wants to make a movie.
Yeah, he has like cinematic.
It's the only thing he has the rights to, right? Like everything else he made, Konami owns. So,
but his games are kind of like cinematic, like so. Just
right. Like I said, he's been trying to make a movie for years. This isn't any different.
The ending of Metal Gear Solid 4 was literally an hour and a half movie. That ending cutscene was 90 minutes long.
What I'm curious about is if it comes out and it's made and it's not good. No, I mean, I doubt it because it's A24. But like, to your point, like, you are going to have to condense it to like a 2-hour movie. And he is not one for brevity.
Right. His movie is going to be like 3.5 hours long.
So, yeah.
If that, I mean, it could just go on forever. Jesus.
It's also weird. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. It's not weird. It's just funny that they didn't announce this during the Kyoji, since they, you know, he enjoys announcing his work.
Wonder if the deal might not have been fully done. That definitely seems like something that Keeley would be like, oh, come on. Like, let me bring you out there. You tell everybody you're making a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe the deal making hadn't finalized yet. A24 makes good stuff, though. So, I mean, they also make some bad stuff, but
they're branching out into dystopian action movies.
Yeah, where you shoot people with poop and pee.
Wait, was that in the trailer for that Civil War movie?
Oh, no, that's not it. That's that's a Death Stranding. That's in Death Stranding. No, I didn't watch the trailer for Civil War. I forgot that was an A24 film.
It doesn't look like one. And I think they had said that they were gonna like kind of go for doing more bigger movies too now. So, and that definitely looks like one. It doesn't look cheap.
I think their process behind that, right, is like if they can get a couple big films that'll allow them to fund their smaller, more artsy fare. Like you have to hit with the big ones though.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas before risk. they were really good at hitting with their small budget stuff. Even like I think Everything Everywhere All at Once was them, I believe. And that did good. I forgot, you know, it wasn't a huge budget, even though it did look good. I don't know.
I'm curious just because I know the story about the Von Erich movie that's coming out. Is it next week?
Is that them too?
I believe so.
They make everything these days.
Yeah.
They really do.
Is there something about that film though, Earl?
What?
The Von Erich film, is there something weird about that or?
Oh, not weird. Just because I know the story of the Von Erichs.
Okay.
Supposedly pretty good.
Yep, that is the Iron Claw comes out next week. It is an A24 film. All right, well, good luck, Hideo Kojima. I don't know. A couple other things here. Right before, I guess we started recording early, not little while ago, but today, Naughty Dog was out there. They announced that they have ceased production on The Last of Us Online.
Oh no,
shocker. Game they should not have been making anyway.
Yeah. Well, I guess, if you read the, you know, the posts that they put up, basically it was, if we did this live service game, we would have had to shift basically everybody to making content to keep it active. And it would have taken our ability away from making a single player stuff, and that's what they really want to do, so...
They were making like a standalone Last of Us multiplayer game?
Yeah, so if you remember from the original Last of Us, there was that mode called Factions.
I remember the multiplayer in general, yeah. but I don't remember that.
That was like that you played on different, I guess, different gangs or whatever, different factions.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's an easy word for it.
Yeah, gathering resources and stuff, and helping to build up your faction there. And I guess they were trying to blow that out with, you know, everything that they improved with Last of Us 2. It was announced before Last of Us 2 even came out that they had a multiplayer mode. It had grown in scope to the point where they were like, it's going to be its own thing. When did Last of Us 2 come out? That was a while ago, right? Like
a few years ago now. It was a PS4 war game still, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so 2020 it came out. So I guess right before the PS5 launched. Sound right?
Yeah.
And it was originally meant to be the multiplayer for that. They pulled it out and we're going to make it its own thing. So for 4 years, 5 years, they've been working on it. They've killed it. And all right. I guess we'll get new Naughty Dog shit.
Right. Games they actually want to make.
I think games we might actually want to play. I don't know. More so than probably their multiplayer shit. But. I only brought this up, but I don't think any of us were big The Crew fans. Which was that Ubisoft Racer, which was. You could drive all the way. They are on the third iteration of that series. So I guess
somebody to Ubisoft is a fan.
Right.
their recent Skull and Bones. They could also just be a money laundering thing still. Like, probably somebody else to bet.
It's true. Ubisoft is shutting The Crew servers down, though. They delisted the game today. Because once the servers go down, that game will be fully unplayable. There is a single player component to it. Like you would play this guy who was, he's like embedded with the FBI, doing street racing, trying to get through to this gang that killed your family. And all of that's gone now. The only reason I bring it up is because, like, there's no reason that single-player content needs to be locked behind online servers that once we're not going to keep those servers up anymore, then that game just becomes, like, it's history. Like, there's no way to play it at all. It's just, it's kind of a shitty thing.
Yep. Still doesn't make any sense why we just kind of accept that, and I don't mean we as in us, but
yeah, like I think The Crew is a bad game. Like I don't think you should play it, but I think if you wanted to be able to play it, you should be able to, whether that's through your own copy that you own. We probably all have it in our Xbox libraries. They gave it away for free as one of the games with gold at one point. Or if you had a disc or something, if you wanted to play it, you should be able to pop it in and at least play the campaign that they had created for it. And nope.
Wait, if you own the game physically, you can't play it?
Once they shut the servers down,
the servers are gone. It's useless. Dead.
Yep.
Was that everything like an online? Oh, I didn't know that was only online.
Even the single player stuff evidently was only online, and they never fixed that. So,
yeah,
I wonder at that point there's going to be like a class action lawsuit, because it is weird that you can buy something that basically becomes a fancy paperweight through no means of your own.
Right, and not that I think anybody bought The Crew yesterday. But if you did, like, and they announced this today, like, how shitty is that? Well, I hope you get your game finished in 4 months, because that's how long you have to play it. As I said, I don't think The Crew's a good game, but I don't think that it should just be erased from gaming history. So
game preservation.
Yeah. And there's no reason for it. There's no reason that that campaign could not have been preserved in some way. But. All right. What have you guys been playing this week?
Don't everybody rush out. Yeah.
Earl, you play anything?
The usual. Oh, well, I guess I can talk about my dream finally came true today. After I think 2 years of saving up all my little V-Bucks and everything, the Ninja Turtles finally joined Fortnite. Some actually really good character designs for them too. And speaking of my annual Fortnite talk, that I didn't talk about the new season. I know we talked about the Lego stuff. Oh, and
that was all we talked about last week.
Yeah, because the racing, was out.
The racing and festival.
I've not tried festival because festival was there as part of the what was I going to say? It was there as part of the season ending event, and yes. It was not a good. I don't know whose bright idea it was to. What am I trying to say? Whose bright idea it was to decide to map. The you use the buttons and the D-pad to play the music game. And
there's a Rock Band highway that comes down, and there's four lanes, and the far left lane you press left on the D-pad, the middle left lane you press right on the D-pad.
And then it's like B and A or X and Y or something.
I do understand. Having played a bunch of it now, I understand why. I don't particularly like it, but I understand it goes all the way across the map. Like, so it's a straight line across. So it's left, right, X, B, all in a row. I think they could have just put the icons at the bottom and been like, this is Y, this is X, this is A, this is B, like they did for Rock Band Blitz when they made that game. But, yeah, it's after you play a few songs, Earl, it makes sense.
Okay.
It's not great, but it makes sense.
I'll take your word for it.
That's a weird thing, too. They keep adding songs to... So it's like a rotating library of music.
Oh yeah, that was the other reason I didn't try it. Maybe I tried it because I didn't have any music to actually try. But there are songs you get by default, right?
Yeah. So there's featured songs that are just there. Anybody goes in. There's like 7 songs every day that you can play. So I think like on Saturday it was like, Take My Breath, The Hills by The Weeknd. There was a something by like Epic, so it was just like some generic Epic music. Lady Gaga's is it Born This Way? No, Bad yeah. Romance. And there was some other stuff, like just a handful of songs, 7 songs. And then they started rotating them. So like I checked in on Sunday. And all like some of those songs were gone, and like Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo had been added. But my son said, well, by Monday that was gone. So they keep like rotating stuff in and out.
And I know you can buy songs too, but yes.
Yes. But I don't know if like you can play them on your own, but if you were to go and I think if you like join a public hopper, you're kind of limited to the 7 songs that are available. I don't know. I haven't bought a song yet either, though. So.
No, because I'm like, I can owe you be freestyled of so much money from you, Fortnite, between...
when you bought up the Ninja Turtles, so...
Yep. It cost me all of, 3,400 V-Bucks? I've not bought April yet. And I forget how much that translates to. I think it translates to something like $45 in real money. Now, the counterpoint to that, I would point out just for my own sanity, is that I have been saving this. I guess literally, I've been saving the V-Bucks I get from the seasons and stuff for the past 2 years, as my friends can attest. I told them I would not. There's a lot of skins that I passed on because it was not I was like, I'm just saving this because the Ninja Turtles have been rumored to come here for ages now. And I was like, yes, I'm not going to get anything with the Ninja Turtles. I got some other stuff. There's some DC stuff. But yes, aside from that, we didn't talk about racing, actually. Racing's actually really fun.
Yeah, it's very good.
I don't know. Okay.
Sure.
I mean, it's Rocket League racing. It is Rocket League racing. It is very much, you know, like the zero gravity. You get to jump on a ceiling. You get to like boost and do other stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is really cool.
But it's a ton of fun. I like their drift. I like how their drift works. I mean, yeah, their drift and their turbo. Like the turbo, you can turbo and then you get like a split second after the turbo activates.
Oh, to get that second boost.
Yeah.
Yep. The drifting I found weird at first because it's really just like pushing into the turn.
Yeah.
Like basically oversteering your car.
Yes.
And then you can rocket drift by pressing X and oversteering your car. But once you get the hang of it after a couple races, it seems pretty natural to do.
What took me a while to get accustomed to it, and maybe I've been playing Mario Kart wrong, is that because you have to stare into it as well, because you do have to straighten out your car to actually get the boost.
Yes.
And that took me a while, because I'm just so accustomed, like, oh, I'm just going to take this turn and let go of it and boost out. And it's like, no, you have to straighten out the car.
Yeah, like, so in Mario Kart, when you spin around, it's as your tires light up.
Yes.
And then once they light up, you have the boost stored. Yeah. Once you let it go, it'll shoot it out.
Yeah.
This doesn't kick in until you straighten your car out, and then it'll give you the drift boost.
Yes. And again, I like the fact that like, you can navigate. Like, I've not done too many of them, but I like the fact that you can hop over parts of the stage. If you know how to take it well enough, you have enough speed and stuff like that. I think they've done a lot of really good stuff with the mechanics. Granted, yes, they have the Rocket League team who've been perfecting their racing combat for what, 8 years now? Rocket League started on
been a while.
Yeah. So it's working for me.
Yeah, I really like the track layout, and especially like where she said, like, you know, if there's a tunnel, you can jump to the ceiling and drive on the ceiling, which can be beneficial for you if you're driving down and there are obstacles in your way on the floor. You can just jump to the ceiling. There may not be any there, which is fun to do when you're playing against people that haven't quite figured out the mechanics yet. So
yes, and I think Fortnite does a really good job of not ever telling you. Like the first few times you play out of their modes, you're playing with bots, and because you know you have to do races for them to rank you. So a lot of times it's people who don't know how it's going on. It makes you feel like a god, and then you get further in, and it's like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, it's like I was like, oh, I won, and then it was like, I don't. Was I playing against? Like, it still feels good. Doesn't really matter. It feels good to win. It's like, was I playing against people? And then you kind of do realize that there are real people that they will show you
early. Yeah.
But it's not all 12 that are in the race.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 4 or 6.
But like, you still beat those other people. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's what counts. That's what counts.
Yeah. I think the track design, really cool. Like, there's you know, tracks on the side, like there's you know, verticality and tracks that are horizontal to you. I think the actual design, the background design is not appealing. It's everything I've driven on so far has been like this mountainous,
yeah,
deserty look. So like the backgrounds aren't like cool looking, but the tracks are enough that I'm like, and the races are quick. They're not it's not like a 10-minute long race. So you're done in less than 5 minutes for all of these, which is the perfect time. It's cool. Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it's becoming more and more, which makes sense, like Roblox. It's not like You know, like, even the Battle Royale was never, I mean, the Battle Royale is not the initial mode, but it's getting to the point where it's like, oh, like, you can't even say Fortnite is a Battle Royale. It's like, Fortnite is, and it's like, it's a music game. It's a racing game. It's a combat game. It's a ego builder.
Really, at this point, it's whatever you want it to be. I did find Save the World. It is there. You have to look for it. You have to search for it. But okay. it is there. It's not even just under default, like Epic made this. Like, it does have the Epic icon next to it once you find it, but you have to search for it in the game modes.
Which is, I don't even know if it's still there. They had a bundle for, like, I think 1,000 V-Bucks, which is like, you get, no, it was $10, I think. You get the V-Bucks and you get Save the World. Like, oh, right, this is a thing. I always forget that. Even Aaron.
It's and we mentioned this last week. It's just so disappointing that, like, that's what they have their achievements tied to. It's a mode that nobody is gonna play. And they're hiding it now. It's not even, like, visible anywhere. So
yeah, why don't they add new achievements?
Yeah, I understand. That is a good question.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, like, Microsoft and Sony both allow you to do, like, if you do updates, you can add achievements. Like, I think Vampire Survivors is, like, over 200 achievements total at this point. They have, like, multiple updates that add in new ones. I don't know. They should... I thought they should have added new achievements when they added in Battle Royale. And now to have, you know, basically Lego Minecraft... a new racing game and Rock Band in it, you would think that they would have achievements there too, but whatever. Earl, tell us about season, what is this, 8, season 7?
It's season 5, I want to say. The season number one is really funky.
Yeah. So what's different this time out?
So I think the big change with this one is... what is the big change with this one? Oh, I guess the new graphic engine, but the new change seems to be, it's Fortnite Underground. So, like, the big thing, like, is like the one of the bases is a train. It's a moving train, so you can hop on the train. You catch a train. The train moves around the map constantly. It's always moving. It has a track. And you can kill people and stuff like that. You can collect the train. That's, like, the big addition. They brought back, last season and a half, they brought back bosses. One of the bosses is Peter Griffin. When you defeat the bosses, they drop medallions. And the medallions, I guess, are also new. It's, if you hold a medallion, you are visible on the map, kind of. Crowns, you're visible if you, during a circle. With medallions, you're always visible. But with a medallion, your shields constantly regenerate. So with time, your shields will regain without taking shield potions or whatever. And I think there's 3 of them on the map. So if the more you have, the more you can... the quicker your shields regain, but the easier it is for people to find and locate you on the map. So, like, you want to go if you want to find somebody and locate them. The other thing that is new, and I forgot it was new because it doesn't really make much of a difference right now. It does, but it doesn't, is they added a weapon modification system. So now all of your weapons have a barrel, a sight, ammo capacity, and I forget what the fourth one is, like a recoil thing. And every weapon you'll find, well, no, based on the rarity, it will come with something default. I think grays have none. Greens have one, blue has two, and then I don't think purple has three, but it will have two better ones, and then gold tends to be three. Then you can find, like, mod stations throughout the map where you can go and add modifications. So, like, again, modifications and stuff, like, you'll get a snipe, you get a shotgun that has a ADS. You'll get a sniper that has, like, you know, it does extra damage with hip fire. You'll get, like, an SMG with higher magazine capacity, a quicker reload time or something like that. So part of it in my head, I thought it would overcomplicate the game, but it's like, it's there, but they don't really pay attention to it. Like, it's not like, oh man, I need this modification. It's like, oh, this happens, and you should check it out, because I've gotten into fights where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize like my AR has a scope that zooms in way past the enemy right in front of me. And like that's kind of annoying when you just want to shoot in front of you, but it's good to know what you have. The other thing they added in terms of new weapons, again, a lot of this feels like they're just copying first-person shooters now, is they have a riot shield, and with the riot shield, you have a pistol. And with the riot shield, again, you block incoming shots from the front and stuff like that. So if somebody, like with an SMG or something, if somebody does enough damage, it will stun you momentarily, and that just gives you vulnerability for attack. It also does a shield bash, so you can charge it up and you can run into somebody and hit them with it and knocks them back, and it does damage. So I find it really fun and frustrating in like duo shields and multi-team games, because you can have one person with the shield kind of taking the brunt and then have your teammates kind of flank them from either side while they're trying to take you out, because they can't not pay attention to you because you can still shoot them. But you're also going to eat up ammo in their time. So it's like, and a lot of people have done that near the end game where they will hide out and wait for you to engage, and then their teammate will pop out. Or they both have shields. And they both have shields, and it's just like, oh, we can't do anything. But yeah, it's been a fun ride so far.
Okay. Tony, Apex had a train at one point, didn't they?
That's
in
true.
One of their maps.
There was like a hot on the main map. It had the train that could follow around, Depending on the time of year, they would activate it, and you could, you know, especially during the holidays, there'd be like themed times where you could go and get on the train. And it was always full of cool stuff, like things that you wanted. And so a lot of teams would land like on the train and like try to, you know, fight for what was inside.
Rush, get the stuff and then eliminate the other teams that dropped. Yep. All right. Well, I plan on playing some Battle Royale at some point, probably with my kids. They're kind of back into playing it right now. So, my son has been playing the racing and Rock Band mode. He did not enjoy the Lego Minecraft thing.
No,
he said it was too slow. Which makes sense. Like, I mean, you literally it's like Minecraft. They drop you into the world and you have to start collecting stuff. And he was like, I would rather just go and shoot people in Battle Royale. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, Fortnite is, it's a wild game, man. Like, just kind of keeps reinventing its relevance. As you said, Earl, it's not doing anything new. It's just like stealing shit from other places.
Even the Battle Royale was, I mean, you know.
Yeah, PUBG, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't even initially like a battle royale game, right? Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't.
it was Save the World, which was like a tower defense type thing, like where you would the resource management, all that stuff was in it, Jeff, where you would like chop down trees and get wood, or you know, hit dumpsters and get steel, and you would use that to build up fortifications. On these maps that they built where you were trying to like rescue citizens and fight against like undead, I think they were like zombies or something. That it's not a great mode. it's not terrible, but it's not great.
Actually knows what the mode is. It's like, yeah, it existed. It still exists. But
that was gonna be my next question.
I played a bit of it. Probably more than a bit. It's just progress in that game, you have to do so much. Like it takes forever. It's like, oh, you have to rescue 1,000 citizens before you get to like level 4 or something like that. And it's like you're only rescuing like 4 or 5 every drop in. So it's rough. And then it Tony, I think you played a little bit of it too. Like, yeah, you're doing the same mission. Like, you only have like
over
a rotation
and over
of,
again. Yeah. It's very boring.
So yeah, like, it's fun maybe the first couple times, but then it's like, all right, I've done these maps already. Give me something new to do, and it takes, you have to like rescue way too many people to advance into the get more stuff. So neat game though. Now
I truly do not get Fortnite. Like, y'all have fun and kids have fun, but I just, it makes me feel old because I'm just like, this is fucking, this sucks. What is this? Like, and it's like the most popular thing ever. Like, everyone I know plays it. You guys play it. Fucking my brother-in-law plays it. His kids play it. I'm like,
I feel like that.
I tried it once. I was like, this is fucking garbage.
I
don't know.
A lot of people's kids play it, and that's how they get into it.
I get, maybe that's it.
Or, I mean, like, for me, and it's because they do so many crossovers, like, I got into it because they had the Marvel season. It wasn't even the Marvel season. They had an Aquaman, like, the first season they introduced, water? Because apparently water was not always a thing you can actually engage with in the game.
You couldn't originally swim in it. It was like original Assassin's Creed. Like, water was like acid. Like, if you touched it, you died.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. Very weird. But
God,
yeah, that's...
God bless. I don't know.
But yeah, now it's wild though, Jeff. Where it's like Earl was saying, he has the Ninja Turtles, right? Like, he could play as Ninja Turtles. I have Iron Man and like a stormtrooper and the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Like, I was just saying, like, literally one of the sub bosses in this season is Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
And
you can find him in a mansion and fight him for a special, he has a special shotgun.
I think what's neat about it too is that, like, all of these different things have different art styles to them, and they found a way to adapt them all so they all look. They all look good in this game.
Yeah. Like, they had Peter Griffin, there's a few anime characters who have, like, an anime style to them.
Yeah, there's, like, a cel shading to them. But it fits. Like, it doesn't look out of place.
Yeah.
With everybody else. It's wild, Jeff. Like, I understand not getting it, because...
I tried it one time, and it was weird because it seemed like a game that was just going to die upon release. And then it's like, it got resurrected. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with it being free.
Oh, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's huge.
But
we've seen so many free games come and go recently that I think part of it is just that fundamentally it was Minecraft with combat. And I think that was what was needed at the time.
And then they kept reinventing it, right? So
yeah.
Apex came out and they added the ping system, and like, so like, and Epic shamelessly was just like, that's really good. And they took it. And now there's
I will
a ping
do that
system.
Too.
Yeah. So like, they keep taking parts from like all these other successful games. Like, it sounds like, Earl, you were just describing basically Call of Duty, like, with the Riot
Shield
and the pistols and the mods.
It's so wild.
Like, they just keep bolting on. It's this Frankenstein of a game that they keep bolting shit onto. And now it's even more of a Frankenstein of a game because, like, there's the Lego mode and
games
racing
within it.
And
yeah.
Rock Band. And there's all this creative, like, there's, like, games where people are playing basketball, like... It's wild. The whole thing is nuts.
I'm against it.
Earl, did you play anything else this week?
I played some more Pro Force, and some Mario Wonder, which I should be wrapped soon, so I can, you know, include it in my Game of the Year discussion.
Yeah.
Not that it won't be in my Game of the Year discussion, but...
I'm surprised you haven't beat that yet. Chris, you beat it, right?
I did.
Yeah. It was more to do with, honestly, it was just more that I got sidetracked between the holidays and work. And
yeah.
I just have not been playing as many games as I should. in the past few with the time off. Yeah.
You moved. You had some busy time going on. Like
it's just I'm kind of getting on the other end of it now. Like I finally got time to go see that Godzilla movie today.
Oh yeah.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
Some of the momentum, some of it, I lost some interest in it near the, not lost interest, but some of this theme, but that's another podcast.
All right. Tony, you play anything this week?
I did start Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Okay.
Did you
play Fallen Order?
I did. Okay. And I like parts of Fallen Order. I think I don't like the Dark Souls type style for that kind of game.
Where you hit the save point and it
yeah, you hit the save point and like it's fine that it brings everybody, it's just kind of weirdly choppy. I kind of wish it would just save at predetermined points and not like force that among you.
Especially it's like, and Jeff, you can chime in here because you're the big Dark Souls guy, but like Dark Souls isn't narrative focused.
Yeah.
So like the fact that Star Wars is like, especially these two games, it does feel weird that like I cleared out this area and I sat down at the checkpoint, the save point, and now all those enemies I beat are back. Like it doesn't make narrative sense in a game that's trying to make narrative sense.
I don't remember it repopulating.
They absolutely.
I don't remember. I gotta be honest. They stopped playing that game. I got pretty far into it, and
What? That you played it for like a week and a half, and then Zelda came out.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
And there's nothing about it. It's weird because I was really high on the first one. But there was about it that I wanted to go back to.
There's nothing special. Like, it's I like Star Wars. I like having a lightsaber and being a Jedi and having powers. But there's nothing about it that's just great. Like, I really like this part of it. Like, there are games that the action games with better platforming. There are, you know, games with better story. The combat is fine. I will say the controls are a little weird. I kept like mixing up the buttons. It seems to me that there's like two different buttons for parrying. And it doesn't really make sense to like parry the laser shot with a different button than I would use to parry a melee attack. That kind of felt like weird. Yeah, and I kept hitting the wrong button.
That doesn't make sense, but I honestly don't remember.
I kind of want to like find out what happens in the story. The other weird part for me, and this is really like says how much I've bought in the achievement systems. Like I played through the game for an hour and a half and didn't get a single achievement, which makes it feel like I'm not doing anything.
you'll get plenty of achievements.
There's a bunch that I'm close to, but like, give me something. You completed the tutorial achievement. You like saved at your first save point achievement. Like, give me something.
You saved at your first save point.
There are definitely games that did like if I remember Gears of War, like you would finish like the tutorial level and they were like,
right.
Like you took cover for the first time.
First perfect reload achievement.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, don't hate.
I like achievements, and it's weird. It's weird for me to play through this game on Xbox for 90 minutes that I've never played before, and not get a single one. It just feels weird. Like I have no like. There's nothing about this game. I'm like, I hate that. I can't like that bothers me so much. But there's nothing that makes me think, oh, this is a great time. It's awesome, and that's kind of how I feel about it.
Are you off of the? Have you got into the main planet yet?
Probably not.
Okay.
There's that senator at the beginning that yep. you're like.
So you're still on Coruscant.
I did that part, and then everything goes horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I just faced down some assassin robot, and then I saved, and I was...
Okay, so I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about it once you... So Coruscant, like that whole area that's all like, you know, looks like Blade Runner inspired because you're in the Undercity. Once you leave there, you end up on a different planet. You will go to multiple different planets over time. But there's one planet that you're going to spend most of your time on. And I'll be interested to hear what you say like once you get there. Because it becomes a little more open world at that point. Like, you can explore more freely.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to hear what you say once you get there. Because I think there are some really cool platforming puzzles.
Yeah.
In that area. I think there's some cool story stuff as the game goes on. But...
So far it's just like wall running, and there's just this weird part where it's like
lots of wall running.
I wall run and I jump to the top of this platform. I'm like, wow, you figured it out. And I'm like, what do you mean? I only have one mechanic right now. Like, I can only get up here one way. What do you mean?
Thank you for
congratulating me.
It opens up a little bit, like Chris was saying, but it's also very rigid. Like, you could kind of, like, run around and look at shit, but, like, to get the thing done that you need to do, there's, like, one way to do it. And it's, you know, a very specific, navigating, like, platforming puzzle that you have to get through for, I think, pretty much the whole game, from what I remember.
And yeah, like, there's... They're
levels. They are levels. Yes, you know what I mean?
There are... Exactly. That's like that. It's an open world area, but when you get into the area that like you need to progress to the next piece, it is a video game level. Like,
it could sometimes be a little tricky, though. That's why I say like platforming puzzle. I think you said that as well, Chris. Where it's like it can be tricky figuring out what to do or how to navigate, how to get where you need to go. Even though, it's gonna involve wall running. You know what I mean? Shit like that.
Yeah, like they introduce some like different mechanics too, like where you'll take control of, basically you get like a glider,
like a bird that you could grab onto.
There's different things there, but yeah, it's all like there's this specific way of figuring it out, and sometimes you will have to figure it out. It's not always very clear how to do it right away, but I think that's what's kind of the fun part.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound mean about the game. It was just like I was enjoying it. I liked it, and then like I think you said, like Zelda did come out like right after it came out. I just had no desire to go back to it. Like it just to this day, I think I deleted it. I just don't care. But I liked it when I was playing it. But
I'll be interested to hear what Tony has to say as he gets further into it. Because I think it still has that Dark Souls-ish vibe, I guess, Tony. But I think it becomes less that. Like, there's more options for combat. You'll get a blaster at some point. There's different options for combat. You can switch on the fly.
Yeah.
Between different stances.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right now I have two stances.
Yeah.
I never remembered to do that. Most of the time.
No, because like you're gonna fall in love with like the stance you really like, and that's the one you're gonna use.
Double bladed stance. I mean, it takes care of lots of enemies, which seems to be what I'm facing most of the time.
Yeah. You may get to a point where you're like, all right, like having a gun to like take care of like some long range stuff might make sense, but if you like the double bladed, that makes a lot of sense. There's also one, I think Jeff, you used it more than I did. It's like basically like the Kylo Ren lightsaber type thing.
With like the two-sided.
Yeah. It's like more like crossed. An axe almost. Yeah, cross blade. I don't know why it feels like it's super heavy, but
I think it's supposed to
make sense.
I think it's supposed to. I don't know. I think I just mainly use the main, like whatever the regular fucking one was. I just never remember.
Single blade.
Like, oh yeah, you could switch it up, but I think you kind of have to like, because isn't there like skill trees related to it too? So you have to like, you kind of do have to make a choice. Like, all right, because like,
you'll get enough as the game moves on. You'll get enough experience. I really, that, like, you can fill into a bunch of them.
I honestly cannot remember. I think I was pretty far in the game, but I honestly cannot remember. I couldn't tell you, and I'm never going back to it. So,
Well, Tony, I'm glad you're playing it. I really liked it. I could totally see where you guys would be like, it's good, but
I'll play some more of it. But yeah,
It's also like one that like I clearly did not recommend to anybody. So. Like this works.
I asked you if I should play it. You told me I should.
Probably back when it came out, right? Like,
yeah.
And I still think, like, I think if you like Star Wars, like, and you like action games, you will like this game. You may not love it, but I think you will enjoy it. And I think the Dark Souls stuff is definitely toned down a bit from Fallen Order. Play anything else, Tony?
I mean, just the usual stuff. Nothing worth mentioning.
Jeff, you playing anything?
Mostly just Baldur's Gate, like doing a second playthrough on Xbox.
Which I have just started.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, just start. I spent an hour and a half creating my character. So.
I mean, it was like a half hour. You're going to be stuck with
them for a long time. Take your time.
It was a half hour before we started. You were like asking about creating the was it the Guardian or whatever? So I'm like, I'm assuming you like, not really got to play it.
No, yet. I'm still on the Mind Flayer ship, which, mind you, Larian really loves to start their games off on like a ship that is crashing or sinking.
Oh yeah.
If I remember correctly, Divinity Original Sin started out on a boat. Divinity Original Sin 2 definitely started out on a boat. I played that way too many times. And this starts out on a crashing Mind Flayer ship, which is cool. It's like there's a cool aesthetic to it, but they like their ships.
Yeah, so you're like you can't. There's really not much to say about it. You're like literally at the very beginning of the game.
I've done 2-3 battles at this point.
Yeah, I forgot that there was a little bit before the crashing of the ship.
You meet up with the orc lady. So that's like your combat tutorial. And then I think there's like another something else. I don't know. Now I have like a brain dog partner too.
Yeah, brain dog.
That thing's weird. Neat.
Brain dog. Brain
dog. There's this brain in the second room you go into.
Yeah, and you rescue it and it becomes like your friend for a little while.
Yeah.
You fight them later on.
I mean, that makes sense. It seems like it was maybe not a good idea to rescue that fucking thing.
You probably
did
something without it. You probably killed it or whatever. You probably killed it or like.
Yeah, you can kill it or you can accidentally like cripple it or like there's a bunch of things you could do to
literally
it.
Literally no idea what you guys are talking about. So like I'm like, did I miss this thing?
Okay.
I have no idea.
So when you get out of the pod, like right after the opening cutscene starts and like everything's on fire, and then you move into the second room before you meet the orc lady. There's this little contraption that will take you up. It's like an elevator that will take you up. If you go up there, there's a guy, like looks like you'd be able to loot him. And instead, if you click on him, you start talking to, the brain starts talking to you. And it gives you some options on what to do. And I like use my intelligence and then my medical skill to pull it out of the skull, and it then grows like these tentacle legs, and it still talks to you because like
I think I've missed this twice now.
I have a pet brain dog.
What class are you? Like, what do you make?
I'm a drow ranger.
Okay, interesting.
Which is I mean. I don't know how much you know of Forgotten Realms and Dungeons and Dragons, Jeff. But
I mean, what I've learned through video games, I guess, you know.
So the Drow are they're dark elves. They're from the Underdark. That's where they live. And they are generally evil, but like there are characters within Forgotten Realms, like stories and stuff that of like Drizzt. He's probably the most famous one. He is gone against his teaching, the Drow teachings. That's kind of how I'm playing this, but they just set it up like you're a Drow. So like you'll get options on I'm just going to kill you now or something like that. Like they just totally evil choices because that's
how the Drow
are written.
Slight spoilers, I guess.
Yeah.
Tony, are the Drow the ones the Mykonoids are up against?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. So I'll be interested to hear what Chris does when he does. I mean, I guess you say you're playing against the stereotypical character.
Playing against the stereotypical Drow, yeah, but I am getting like those options that...
There is a very fun part in... I think it's still in Act 1 where you get to go underground and there's mushroom people and you get to decide what to like help them or whatnot. And I think it's like one of my favorite parts of the game for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just think it's cool that there's mushroom people. I don't know if you could even really weigh in on what you think of it so far. I mean, I guess you kind of know how it plays mechanically and...
Presentation wise, I think it looks like a normal video game. Like you're walking around third person view. Like you can zoom out, so it definitely has more of a top down. But I think it looks really good. Like it up front,
performs really well too. Like the combat and everything going on generally. Yeah. It's pretty smooth looking. And then those cutscenes when you look at I watched that video you shared with us, like comparing it to the Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah.
Like the cutscenes are like miles above that game. Like that game looks cool, and I'm gonna play it at some point. But like, man, like the cutscenes were not even cutscenes. They're like the dialogues. You know what I mean? Like when you're talking to someone, it looks like a fucking movie or something. Like it's fully voiced and acted and everything. Like
I mean, and to be fair to you know. Divinity Original Sin 2. That game is 6 years old at this point. Like Larian has figured out, you know, they've advanced with each of their games. So, presentation wise, the game is super impressive looking. Combat seems good. Like it seems what I expect. I do like the dice rolls. I've gotten to do a few of them at this point.
They're cool.
Absolutely surprised by you earlier this week saying that like that was how you learned what your characters were good at though. It's like,
well, it just helps you to
it gives you right there like what your bonuses are.
I don't have like their sheets memorized or anything. Yeah. So like and so like it mainly would help me with like my main character because I'd be like, okay, I guess I have a minus one in intelligence or, you know what I mean? Like okay, avoid doing that type of conversation. Of more than that, I just love, like Tony said, it's like a lot of games do this behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love being able to see it. It gamifies it. You know what I mean? It makes it like, okay, I need, and then like, you know, then, you know, you're like, I need, you know, basically anything with lock picking or you always are going to use Asterion. In fact, it's like the main reason I keep this guy Asterion on my fucking team is because of that. It's like otherwise, I don't
the,
really
the
log like
picking and the, yeah, he's really good.
His at class. The, yeah, like he does do.
Yeah, they're kind of useless in combat. I always hear sneak
damage is huge.
It's good, but like a lot of the time, it doesn't come into account, and then he's a thief.
He's a rogue, I think, right?
He's a rogue. Yeah.
Wait, I guess there's no. There's. I didn't. I don't think I saw a thief class you could choose.
So I don't. Yeah, I don't know. that would basically be him, I guess, you know, but anyways, but yeah, I the dice rolls are fucking awesome. Like, I always
it's like
have
actually
fun
playing Dungeons and Dragons, how it yes. feels.
And yes. there's like a slot machine element to it where it's like ding ding, like the way like
oh how it does your like, your bonuses like, and your buffs and debuffs yeah. against it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just to me it's like why would
I
you
also
hide
like
this?
The narrator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the narrator is like, cool. Yep.
I'm sure that is like playing into how you would play Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like as well. Like,
yes. So like you have a dungeon master.
Yeah.
And the dungeon master is basically explaining stuff to you, and that's what the narrator is doing here. Like, it's giving you extra context that you might not maybe don't get just from looking at the screen and seeing what's there. You know, giving you information that. Mm-hmm. Your character yeah. can have because of their bonuses or their buffs and debuffs.
Or the fact they live in the world, so they know certain things.
Yeah, like, yeah. We don't live there, so we wouldn't know.
Like, look, I've never, ever played Dungeons & Dragons, but, like, I got right away that I'm like, oh, that's from the tabletop game. That's probably, like, the Dungeon Master type role.
Yep.
What was the narrative? I was like, I think it's I don't know. It's just like adapting that game again. I don't know how to play the game. I'm never like really faithfully trying to adapt something here, and you know, stay true to the spirit of it. And I like any of the things that like I was just like I don't know. It's a nice touch. Like it like makes it cooler, and I would even me, I recognize what it is, and I'm like. Same with the dice rolls. I'm like, why would you hide this? Like, this is neat. Like, it should be in there. Like, so it's cool that they... It's not a make it or break it thing. Because I think, like Tony said, like, I've never seen dice roll in any other of these games. I was like, you know, I'll still play Divinity and have fun with it. But it's neat. Yeah. I love it being in there.
Yeah, I've never, like, seen anything like that before. And I played tons of these games. It just, it's cool that they put it front and center like that. It just feels good and right.
Yeah.
When you don't feel ripped off when something goes
right.
bad, right?
It like, fails. Like you see why you failed. You see that it's okay. a bad dice roll.
I rolled bad, as opposed to like in Starfield. Not saying that there's you know, right or wrong here, but it's like, oh, you have a chance of getting this. Do you do it? And you do it, and it goes. It failed. It's like
you have no idea sucks. Why. Yes. Like yeah, or like I guess I got a bad dice roll. I don't know. Yeah. When I see a one land, I'm like, fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is exactly how you would react if you were playing real Dungeons & Dragons. You roll a one, you're like,
fuck.
Damn it.
Is that how it is used in the game? Is it like used for like dialogues and stuff like that? Or
it depends.
Yeah. It wouldn't necessarily be used for dialogue unless you're trying to do something.
Yeah,
with
like persuasion or charisma will depend on if you're trying to.
The game implements it at the right times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the thing with D&D, just to butt in with that part, it's like D&D is also at the discretion of the DM. Like you can have stuff pay out that just pays out, and then there's other times where it's like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Roll four, and then they'll have you to see how it pays out.
I'm looking forward to digging into that more. Jeff, you haven't run into any save bugs or anything on Xbox? So there is one out there.
No.
Do you use Quick Resume at all?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what they were saying it was tied to. I don't. I almost always shut down my game.
It always gives me this thing when I start beginning, and it's like, you have disconnected, and you are no longer using the profile, but it's like, I just hit resume. Zoom pause the game and everything's fine. I'm like, I don't know. It's like, oh, you lost your online connection and you are no longer playing under this profile. I'm like, but yeah, I am. Like, here I am. The game's still playing and it's letting me save. So I just pay it no mind.
As long as it's letting you save, because like people were reporting that they were losing, like their saves were just disappearing.
No, nothing with that.
So the good.
And I don't really have much to report about the game. Like I've given my feelings on the game,
yeah.
But playing through it a second time, you know, I'm an hour or two into the second act now, and I'm just finding tons of things that I missed the first time. Even like,
and evidently, there's still stuff that
you I didn't find the fucking brain at the very beginning. Yeah, but like so when I first played it, like I did get cut off from a lot of the first act because I just accidentally entered the second area and I shouldn't have. So like I got to spend a lot more time going through that first act and doing a lot of things like. Huge portions of the first act I missed on my first playthrough. But now that I'm in the second act, I'm even finding stuff in this like Shadow Cursed Lands or whatever you want to call it, whatever it's called, that I totally missed out on too. And finding it way easier to get through there now. There's an area that this Shadow Cursed Lands game, you need some sort of fucking like light or something to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is kind of more spoiler stuff too, but it's like you could get this moon lantern, which is what I did the first playthrough. But the problem with that is you have to be carrying the moon lantern. When you get like into combat, you're like hitting enemies with that moon lantern, and it's, you know, it's not a weapon, so it's like doing 3-4 damage, right? Right.
Yeah, you almost have to assign it to one of your magic users, which is also frustrating because that means they're then leading the party, so they're standing in front.
Well, much easier is when you first find, at least the way I got the Moon Lantern, there's a pixie inside of it. She's the one that like lights it up, and she goes,
"Yes, don't spoil this for Chris, though."
I think you should know this.
He should not know this. He should experience it for himself.
Anyways, okay. Chris, there's something going on.
Yeah.
There's a way to like not be whacking enemies with your Moon Lantern. Just put it that
way. Got it. All right. Jeff, I think what Tony said when you played it on PS5 first, that like when you didn't do things and there are quest lines you got locked out of in Act 1, some of that stuff carries over in Act 2, so you were probably locked out of some stuff there too. So.
Oh yeah, surely. For the whole game, there's things I was locked out of. Yeah. But yeah, I really fucked myself. Like, you know, and I don't have to tell you this, but to anyone who's like very new to this game, do not progress. Like, I was just like, oh, I saw this, you know, this wall.
It warns you. It warns you clearly. And you're like,
I was warning you, but I was like, well, yeah, but it's like, it basically just says, like, it just told me I was underleveled for the next area. And I was like, well, whatever. I want to check it out.
It also tells you, like, you're going to fail quests. Like, it gives you, like, the whole warning of what's about to happen.
I don't remember it anyway.
It definitely does.
But I was when I came back to the first act areas, I was like, wait, the fuck do I get to... I was, like, trying to get to this grove area, and it was, like, all closed off and poisoned, and I was like, what the fuck? I, like, took a picture of it and put it on Reddit. How do I get past this poison? And they're like, you don't. You fucked up. And I was like, oh, this is a game that actually has consequences. I like that. But I wish I would have known. And so, it's been well worth playing through again. I've gotten to do so many quests and meet new characters. I'm having a blast with it.
Nice. I expect I will enjoy it as well as I get deeper into it. One other thing before we wrap it up here. And I know Jeff, this is not a game that you are specifically playing, but you played a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah. I've mostly watched this cause my wife took my controller and bought it. She's like one of those crazy Avatar people.
She's an Avatar fan. That's fine.
Yeah.
Crazy Avatar people.
She's like a little weird about it.
The people that a bunch of people were saying didn't exist before the last movie came out, right? Like,
yeah. But yeah, just watching the game, it's very rote and like... It is just Avatar skin Far Cry, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of sick of that game. And
you were sick of that game after 3. Well, after Blood Dragon.
Yes, yes. Basically. I loved those.
Because you started 4 and were like, this isn't fun.
Yeah, just like, this is getting stale already, and that was like a decade ago now. And, you know, watching her play this, like, I don't know if you guys have ever watched someone play a first-person shooter for, like, their first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was very excruciating to watch, because you just, like, want to shake them and be like, please fucking do what the game is fucking telling you to fucking do. And, like, you know, they're so, like, literally just figuring out how to walk around and everything, that they're, like, missing all the fucking things popping up on the screen telling them, press this to track your quest. Do this to craft fucking, you know, and then just like, colors. Whoa, this is pretty. Like, what am I looking at? Like, you're just like, oh my god, dude, this is so hard to watch. And she's generally fine at, like, walking around. Like, you know, she had played one other first-person game before, which was, she has, like, an idea of like, how to move around.
Control
and
that way, yep.
But then once there, like, a firefight occurs, like, oh my god, dude, it's like, it's taking way,
you panic.
Yes,
everything you knew how to do before is gone, and you're like, I don't know how to look around now.
Yes, yes, and taking way too long to line up a shot, and not moving around at all. Like, you're just standing there, like, in the, you know, getting shot at from six different directions while you're trying to take out one suit. And you're just like, dude,
but
you
can't
gotta,
tell,
like,
if the game is good or not, can you, at this point? Because it's,
I would say this. From, you know, I've seen a few hours of it now. It kind of goes against my whole, like, current philosophy of game design. It's just so much setup and fucking talking and fucking, like, doing things that are fucking boring instead of, like, you're not even, like, for a lot of it, going around, like, shooting or, you know, even that would be more fun than what you are doing, which is like, here's a, you know, you're inside this base and here's a tool that you can, they give, and here's how you pull up the tool, and the tool lets you see wires, like electric wires that are running through the floor, and you have to go around and connect nodes and make an electrical circuit through this place. And I'm like, who the fuck wants to do any of this? This is boring, dude. This is like,
that,
extremely,
that doesn't
extremely
sound
boring.
Like, as somebody that likes Avatar, but, you know, that doesn't sound like what I want out of Avatar.
No, it doesn't move. Like, the game is so slow on the setup. And, you know, obviously you want, like, this part where you're, like, learning the controls and this and that. But, god, dude, it is just so slow to get going. And then once it finally did, like, when she's finally out and that's like, oh, take down a base. You know, of course, this is an Ubisoft fucking open world game. It's like, oh, go take it down a base. And she's playing on easy and with guided, like, telling her where to go. And again, like, she has a lot of trouble because she's still learning. But
not a game style that she plays. Yeah,
that first base is not super easy, dude. Like, first off, all you have is a bow and arrow, and you know, not the best. You know, the arrows fall, so it's like, even if you're, like, aiming straight on, that's not what you want to do. But the vase is, like, as soon as, like, was alerted, there's, like, fucking six robot dudes on you. And then they're calling in reinforcements, like, every minute and a half. And it's, like, those reinforcements, it's, like, an airship shows up and, like, 10 dudes jump out. And you're, like, holy fuck. So, like, I finally got through it by, like, running kind of straight at this tower that you have to take out. And just killing the guys, like, the regular soldiers in my way. But you have to, like, you know, sneakily do it, like, you know, stealth do it, and, like, before they're able to alert anyone else. Like, basically, you have to do one-shot kills on them with the bow and arrow. Then you gotta get up on the tower. Then you have to pull your stupid tool that they gave you and do a scanner thing. Then you have to shoot a fucking vent out on the tower. Then you have to fucking go disable a generator next to the tower. And this is all while, like, not getting detected. Like, you have to do stealth, otherwise you're in fucking huge trouble. And so I was able to do all that. And then now there's, like, a vent that is flipping over, like, with flames shooting out of it on the top of the tower. And when the vent flips up and the flames are shooting out, you have to shoot into the hole in the tower, and that's how you blow up the tower. It doesn't make any sense, really.
You basically have to, like, blow up the Death Star.
It's pretty complicated. I was like, I got through it in a couple tries, but I was like, like, never imagine her like getting through that. Like, I'm like, dude, that is a lot. That is a lot you're asking of someone, especially like very early on in the game. Like, this is your normally taking out a base is like, go fucking blow up everything in the base, kill everything, and like, no, this is like, you're too underpowered to do that. And like, the idea of how to blow up, like, you know, usually it's like climb up a tower or something, but this is just like, no, you have to disable this, do that, blow this up, and then you have to shoot a fucking vent that opens up every 30 seconds when the flames are shooting out. I'm just like, dude, she's just trying to figure basic shit, and this is like, I don't know. And it's just like, everything about the game feels so fucking dated and just like, dude, can you give me, like, and I'm sure it'll get to a point where it's like, you get to really run around an open world, and I'm like, when do you get to fly on the fucking cool things, like the whatever, the, I don't know what the fuck they're called.
Like the dragon pterodactyl.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Hopefully it gets to that point, but like, again, the first few hours of this game is nothing I would ever want to play. I'm just like, this is just fucking garbage.
I'm sitting there thinking, as you're describing, like, you with the bow and arrow fighting against, like, mech suit people. It's like they mixed Far Cry Primal with, like, Blood Dragon. It's like, in the wrong way, too.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to give you primitive weapons against sci-fi shooting guys.
They do have, like, little, like, whatever, rockets or engines or whatever on their back, or I don't know if it's fuel tanks or whatever, but, like, if you precisely hit one of those, you could one-shot those robot guys. But again, you're talking about someone who, like, you know, she normally plays puzzle games and RPGs, and is, like, this is asking a lot out of someone who is just an Avatar fan that wants to play an Avatar game.
It just wants to, like, see
it.
And
you're cramming down this, like, kind of convoluted, fucking outdated shooter that they have to figure out how to play. I don't know. I heard her playing while we were recording tonight, so, like, she's still playing it, and it sounded like she, like, I heard a cutscene, and I'm like, oh, she made it somewhere. She's talking to somebody. But,
I've heard that the game is very beautiful once it gets going. Like,
yeah, it's fine.
Like, but to me, it sounds like if this hits $20, I'd probably pick it up because, like, I like Avatar enough that I'd like to explore the world they've created. But,
and if you're not burnt out on Far Cry games, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just like,
I don't have any aversion to Far Cry, so
I'm just waiting for it to get to the fun part, because, like, Blood Dragon doesn't take a lot of like, you know, doesn't fuck around for fucking 6 hours teaching you a bunch of, like, how to fucking walk around with a fucking stupid tool and do stupid shit. It's just like, go fucking blow shit up, and this is just like, I'm just waiting to see when the fun part comes, because, like, so far, the base was maybe the most exciting thing, and that was, like, frustrating.
All right. Well, I wish her the best of luck.
Me too. I hope she enjoys it, and hope she gets, you know, and again, I got her through that one encounter. Because I'm just watching this, I'm like, there's no way she's, like, it's not happening. And I'm just like, and I also wanted, you know, I was like, this is what you do, like, I'm not great at shooters, but I was like, you know, you kill a guy, then you move around somewhere else in the arena, you know what I mean? Like, keep moving around, picking up stuff off the ground, like, picking up resources so you can craft more.
Yeah.
Or bow. And, like, you kind of want to stay mobile, and because if you just stand in one spot, everyone just starts converging on you, and you're fucking, like, you're fucking...
One toast. Question. Oh, so, and this is only what I remember from, like, Far Cry 3 and 4. There were, like, animals in cages and stuff. Could you, are there any, like, cool, like, Avatar animals you can let loose to, like, attack the guards or?
Oh,
Or you didn't see any?
I mean, I've seen her hunt animals, but
right. Yeah, I was just like, remember, like, you'd go into a
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I remember that in the Far Cry games, but there'd
be like a tiger or a bear in a cage, and you'd unlock the cage, and the bear would rampage throughout the little base.
Nothing like that yet. Although there's something cool like that in Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. Just you talking about that made me think about the part. And what I don't think that they're your friends though when they get out.
It's always a it's always fun when you can make wildlife attack.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I would imagine. I would hope Avatar, especially.
There's some really cool, there's cool panther looking things with the tentacles and. Like there's cool animals in that are deadly, so
I'd
be neat to have.
I hope I get to see her fly around, shoot some stuff, get some. That would be cool to see. But yeah, I'll let you guys know if it ever seems like it gets actually good.
All right. All right. Well, next week we're gonna do Hall of Fame induction. So bring your Hall of Fame entries next week, gentlemen.
When does eligibility start? Is it 15 years ago?
15 years, so 2008.
I was going to say, we don't need to put numbers on it. Because that just makes it sound worse.
Yeah, just 2008. No timeline there. I may install Assassin's Creed Mirage and give that a go. Evidently that takes place before Valhalla.
Yes.
Okay. The timeline of Assassin's Creed is so broken.
It doesn't matter that it starts before Valhalla.
Yeah.
Is the current day stuff still there?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's in Mirage.
In Mirage it is not.
It was in Valhalla.
It's implied very slightly in Mirage at the beginning.
Yeah, there's present day stuff in Valhalla, Jeff.
I do not remember that whatsoever.
There definitely is.
It's limited. Like it is. Like they certainly do less and less of it than they did previously. Like there was a lot in like 4 and Rogue and Unity.
I remember the joy of the first Assassin's Creed walking around a lab for no reason. That was awesome.
Then there was the one where you stabbed the other woman to death.
Oh, yep, that was the end of Brotherhood. That was at the end of Brotherhood.
Why am I stabbing her? What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It's like the only bad thing about Brotherhood. It's like, this makes no sense. What am I doing this for? Oh, no, it was at the end of Revelations. Was it? No. No, Revelations, he's in a coma. It's really... The timeline is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I feel like we should have experts on to do a deep dive on video game franchises that have continued on and on with like a singular story that just kind of goes bonkers.
Yeah.
If you folks are talking about Assassin's Creed, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about stabbing this girl?
you want to go through some franchises and discover the lore, Earl? We could do that.
Yes.
No.
We know like, Jeff loves lore. Story. He's like, no story. Don't know. Gameplay, not story.
It's like it's stuff like that. I mean, I know some of it, but Metal Gear also gets insane. It keeps on retconning its retcons. I mean, everybody knows
Kingdom Hearts is a wild
Kingdom
one.
Hearts. You can always discuss the Zelda timeline. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Or timelines, I guess, set in the key speaking.
Resident Evil has some wild stuff going on in that.
Yeah, especially if you include the fact that I think the animated movies are canon to the game.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Some wild stuff out there.
Because it's like we have to keep making these games, but clearly we did not think about these stories having to be action oriented and somehow compelling.
Yeah. And when you, Assassin's Creed 1 was like 2007, 2008?
It was 2007.
2007 for the first game.
Yeah. So 16 years of like intercut lore that. That they sometimes focus on, sometimes don't focus on. Sometimes they, like, you are Templars, sometimes you are not, sometimes you work for Ubisoft. Like, It's crazy and wild.
I don't even know if that's legit or not. So,
no, you work for Abstergo Entertainment, which is in the, like, it's literally Ubisoft.
Okay.
It's in the Ubisoft offices. You will walk around the Ubisoft offices in first person. It's just called Abstergo Entertainment.
Yeah, this is why I think I want, like, the special
episode. It's wild. It's absolutely, like, the lore in of Assassin's Creed is goofy as all hell. All right. Well, we'll be back next week inducting some Hall of Fame caliber entries. And then I think we're going to take a week off for the holidays before we come back in January and start recapping 2023 as we lead up to Game of the Year.
Woohoo!
And Earl is finishing Wonder and some other stuff, and Jeff is replaying through Baldur's Gate again. So we have lots of games that we will be bringing to the table for Game of the Year. All right, Jeff, say good night.
Good night.